This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Visitations from other galaxies are broadly accepted to have happened over the course of human history. Many claim the preponderance of evidence around the world is far too obvious of this fact, that Earth has indeed been visited by aliens. And for some, this is an absolute belief. But is it possible we are missing a major piece of the puzzle? That piece being the refusal to accept revealed knowledge as truth from the pages of your Bible. What if the Bible is true? Does it have anything to say about aliens? And if not, what is the alternative it reveals regarding the truth about non-human visitations? Stay with us as we explore what the Bible says about alien visits.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our family, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello and again welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. I know many of you are well aware of this fact, that we as human beings are subjected to our five senses. We digest information through our sight, through our smell, our taste, our touch, our hearing, and as a result of the information we gather, in digesting that information, we respond and react accordingly. And all of us do that because that's the way we're built. We're human beings, and that's the way the mind works, because the mind works through those five senses. But there are people, my friends, you're aware of it as well as I am, who claim they have extrasensory perception. Kind of like that movie, remember, a few years back called, I think, The Sixth Sense, starring Bruce Willis? Yeah, Bruce Willis, and he was asking the little kid, you know, about what he does or what his problem is, and the little kid looked at him and said, "I talk to dead people." Well, there's this guy, Gary Schwartz, who was doing research on some necromancers and psychics, individuals who claim to have these extrasensory perceptions, who claim that they have an ability to connect with the dead, the afterlife. Guy like John Edwards, remember the program he had on, I think it was titled Crossing Over. He interviewed him, I think, and did a little bit of research on him, along with Alison Dubois. She also claims to be some kind of a psychic, although she doesn't like to be called that. She would prefer to be called a medium, because she feels the word psychic is rather demeaning. As a matter of fact, the program Medium, I don't watch it, but I hear that it was based off of this Miss Dubois, who is essentially the central part of that particular series that is shown on television. But my point is, these people claim that they can contact the dead. Like, you know, my mom and my dad are in this invisible dimension around here somewhere, and they're watching me from this other place as though they're alive after they've been dead. Now, there's another group of people who claim that, well, they've been visited. They've just been flat-out visited by angels or demons. They've had visitations from extraterrestrial beings from another solar system somewhere light years away. They've been, what you could say, taken away into the spaceship, poked and probed and investigated and experimented with, kind of like a guinea pig in a laboratory where they've been prodded and looked at and reviewed and scraped and poked in all kinds of ways, shapes, and fashions, and have returned then to their homes. Or in some cases, they even claim that, well, they disappeared on a spaceship and now who knows where they went. They're just MIA, missing in action. Well, you know, my friends, a lot of this stuff is indeed coming from a particular source. Oh, yeah, that's right. Where there is smoke, there's fire. Absolutely, there is fire. But I'm here to mention to you, and submit to you something for your consideration, that it isn't what you think it is. I want to talk a little bit about this phenomenon, this question, this dilemma that we have where things seem to actually happen out of supernatural fashion, but doesn't seem to make sense physically or logically within what we would consider our human dimension. I want to talk about that because, you see, there are UFOs. And, oh, yes, aliens do exist. But before I get into that, let me interrupt myself here and offer all of you the material that we have on today's program. Both of these items are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial that 888 number, 578-8791. Ask for this. UFOs exist, but what are they? And a one-hour presentation, extraterrestrial visits. That's right, extraterrestrial visits. One-hour presentation before a live audience on a CD disc. Both are free for the asking. All you've got to do, as I said, dial that 888 number, 578-8791. And also that website there for your consideration. Let me remind all of you that we have a lot more material there, archived Armor of God programs, as well as sermons and all kinds of literature for your perusal and review and reading and, frankly, studying if you want to take the time to do it. You can even download some of it if you'd like and copy and print it right off your own printer there at home for your own hard copy if you would prefer to have it that way. I'm kind of old-fashioned myself. I kind of prefer having hard copies, but that's beside the point. Also, let me mention this as well. We have another feature on our website. It's called webcasting. Every Saturday, we have a webcasting of a live presentation before a live audience of some speaker from the Church of God International who goes through some subject, whether it's a biblical topic or perhaps some kind of current event that may be foremost in our newspapers or on our news or of concern to the general public. And he'll go through articulating some of this for about 45 minutes to an hour. You're welcomed and invited to attend anytime you want. All you've got to do is go to our homepage there, click on the link, and rendezvous with us every Saturday is usually when this is done. So once again now, 888-578-8791 is the phone number for the free offers. UFOs exist, but what are they? And, of course, extraterrestrial visits, a one-hour presentation. Both, again, let me remind you, are free of charge, and that website there at www.cgi.org. Now, let's get back to the program here. What am I talking about? What do you mean, Bill, UFOs exist and there are indeed aliens? Well, let me mention this. I need to remind you or share this with you with regard to a recent program I watched. I think it was either on Discovery, perhaps it was on the History Channel. But it took into account and posed a question that I thought was quite intriguing, to say the least, simply because it parallels quite accurately, that is what was proposed on this program, the Bible claims is indeed on this earth and in fact going on. And here was the question the program posed. They posed the fact that aliens already walk among us. Oh yeah, they claimed that they were already walking among us, and what they wanted you to consider on this program that I was watching, either on the History or Discovery Channel, like I mentioned, is that instead of taking the conventional head-on war type of approach, kind of like what Mars Attacks, remember the movie Mars Attacks, how they took the head-on approach with ray guns and, you know, blowing things up and killing people and everything else, annihilating this guy and that gal and everything along those lines. Instead of doing that, this program proposed that they're walking among us and through mind control and through the encroachment of moods and emotions are driving many of us into either killing ourselves or killing each other. Now, I found that quite intriguing and quite amazing and stunning because I submit to you that's what your Bible is talking about also. And the aliens, though, that your Bible talks about are not only coming from a different location physically, if I can use that term, to illustrate to you something from another dimension. Spiritual. That's right. These beings are coming not only from another location, but another dimension. And they're not necessarily aliens, other than I guess you could use that term as a describing term, noun of sort, to illustrate the fact that they are different from humans. But the Bible labels them and identifies them as demons. Fallen angels. Angels that have basically rebelled. Now, there are also good angels. Angels that have not rebelled and that are still in favor with God. Some are in disfavor, called demons. Others are called angels and are still in favor with God. My point, both of these groups have, on occasion, broken the veil of our physical world, my friends, and have traveled back and forth, making and taking upon manifestations to interact with fleshy human beings from time to time. It's quite an interesting thread or segment of story, of detail and nuance in your Bible. Needless to say, many people don't think it through, but there is quite a bit of angelic, good and bad angelic behavior that is outlined, described, and explained in your Bible. Let me take a moment here to show you something that I think you'll find pretty interesting, because, you know, the Bible is quite serious regarding not dealing with necromancers and divinations and along these lines. In Deuteronomy 18, it's very clear. God does not want us to be playing around in those areas because, frankly, it's real. There is real risk there. You want to play with some of these fallen angels? Well, guess what? You give them the time of day, they'll be more than happy to tell you what time it is, figuratively speaking, if you know what I mean. They will play with you until the cows come home, if that's what you want and that's what you prefer. And that's why God encourages all of us, look, do not deal with necromancers and do not deal with divinations. It's not healthy, nor is it wise. And the reason being, because they are far more powerful, my friends. What is described in your Bible, what little keyhole peek we have in dealing with these beings, illustrates to us that, you know what, there is no limitation from the physical realm on these particular beings. These beings, my friends, they can travel at the speed of thought, and they can do things that are just unimaginable. Let me take you over here to the book of John, and in chapter 20 for a moment. I want to describe to you some things that Jesus Christ illustrated to us after his resurrection, that upon him becoming spirit again, because he did pre-exist as a spirit being prior to his human birth. That's another story, and I digress. But my point here that I want to show you in verse 16 of the book of John, chapter 20. Notice this, and we read here. Jesus says unto her, now this is a lady, Mary, and she turned herself and she said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. This is when, for the very first time, Mary, who went to the tomb, recognized Jesus in his post-resurrected form. Jesus told her, don't touch me yet, he says, for I have yet not ascended to my Father. This is verse 17, chapter 20, book of John. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and she had spoken these things, and he had spoken, that is, these things unto her. Then the same day, in the evening, at night, so that was in the morning, the same day, in the evening, as the sun was setting, okay, the Bible says here in John 20, when the doors were shut, and it makes a point here, the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them, and he says, peace unto you. Now, the Bible makes a point. The doors were shut. And it makes a second point. On the same day, and guess what they end up doing? They end up touching him. They end up fondling him. They end up basically grabbing him and doing all kinds of things, of which he told Mary not to do in the morning because he had not ascended to the Father. Which tells you what? Well, between the morning and the evening, he must have ascended to the Father, because now he's back on earth and he's allowing people to touch him. And furthermore, he's entered the room without using the door. He didn't use the window either. He just appeared, like kind of beam me up, Scotty, kind of a thing, you know. And there he was. And he said, peace unto them. They were all amazed. And they were, needless to say, stunned and quite surprised. And Jesus in verse 21 of chapter 20 says, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Now, we notice here in verse 24, we're told that Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them. 8 days later, verse 26, John chapter 20, notice this, verse 26, 8 days later, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, notice this now, there it is, the doors being shut. And he stood in the midst of them and he said, peace be unto you. Here again, the point is being made. The doors are shut. 8 days later, and lo and behold, you have Jesus coming up in a room, not using the door, not using a window, and just appearing. Illustrating what? Well, illustrating quite clearly, my friends, that he as a spirit being had no limitations. There were no restrictions or restraints on him within the physical world. Anything physical he could penetrate and go right through, because his molecular structure now had been modified and changed into something that he labeled in his discussion with Nicodemus. We call it in the English word a spirit. Spirit being. Paul claimed there is a natural being in 1 Corinthians 15. Then he said there's also a spirit body. There's a natural body and a spirit body. And needless to say, we will wear both, assuming, of course, we qualify in this calling that Christ has called us to as Christians. And Jesus portrayed that very much so in these few latter chapters in the book of John, which illustrate a little bit of what he shared with his disciples after he was resurrected. Now, the Bible, and this is only one instance here, I want to point out something here in the book of Daniel. Let me take you back, way back here in the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel for a moment. In the book of Daniel, and in chapter 9, and in verse, in this particular case, verse 21, here is a situation, Daniel, of all things, he's in the midst of having a vision and a visitation. And lo and behold, this visitation begins to manifest itself. And he, Daniel, notices what's going on here and describes it as following. And he states this in verse 21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, okay, being caused to fly swiftly, he touched me about the time of the evening sacrifice, basically, is what Daniel is talking about. So here you have Daniel being visited by Gabriel, an archangel. And Gabriel is breaking the veil. He's got a message for Daniel. And he's wanting to explain it to Daniel, talk to Daniel, and share this information with Daniel. And he's about to go ahead and do that. It's called the 70-week prophecy in this particular case. And I'm not going to digress into that right now, only though to illustrate to you that this was an actual visitation. It was an actual discussion where Gabriel was actually visualized by Daniel, and Daniel was able to be visualized by Gabriel, and the two went back and forth, Daniel listening, digesting things through his five senses while Gabriel talked. I mean, this, my friends, is amazing. And it's a real illustration of super angelic beings breaking the veil of our reality and coming into our dimension, and then through our ears being able to hear them speak and hear them talk and tell us certain things. Notice over here in the chapter 10, we have chapter 10, another visitation. Notice this in verse 7, Daniel alone saw the vision, for the men that were with him did not see the vision. Therefore, he was left alone, and he saw this great vision. This is Daniel 10, and in verse 8. Verse 9 now, he says this, "Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, upon the palms of my hands." So Daniel is flat prostrate out on the ground, I mean on his belly, and the hand lifts him up, and he's now on his hands and his knees, kind of, you know, on all fours, maybe the position you get when you play horseback ride with your grandson or your child or something. He's on all fours, and he said unto me, that is this being, said unto Daniel, "O Daniel," verse 11 now, Daniel 10, "O Daniel," he says, "a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you." Wow. Can you imagine being visited by an angel and having those words told to you? He goes on. "Stand upright." Get up. Stand up. You don't need to be kneeling like that. Stand up, he says. This is interesting, my friends. Follow me through this. He says, "For unto you I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." His knees were wobbling. He was all shook up here. He says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and chasten yourself before your God." Daniel may have been, you know, perhaps even fasting. I don't know exactly, but he was chastening himself, and the angel recognized it and made note of that. He says here, "Before your God, your words were heard. From that first day that you decided to do what you were going to do, that is described by this angel as chastening yourself, you were heard. You were immediately heard by God. And I am come for your appeals, based on your words, your request." He goes on, "But," notice this now, I want you to notice this. This is going on in the other dimension. He discloses this fact. "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. There was another demon called the prince of Persia, who fought this angel, most likely this was probably Gabriel, who came and attempted to stop him." These were locking horns of these two great behemoth beings in another dimension, with one being attempting to stop the good angel from achieving connection with Daniel, literal connection with Daniel in this case. I mean, it's amazing. And we're being told about this event. And Daniel is being told about the event as an explanation as to why this angel was late, why it took 21 days, almost 3 weeks, for this angel to make connection or contact with Daniel. But then he finally says here, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." So Michael had to come and reinforce, as a reinforcement, and attempt to try to do the best he could to get this other angel, most likely, as I say, Gabriel, loose so that he could go visit Daniel. This is amazing stuff, my friends. And I don't know if you realize or ever read any of this or allowed it to sink in, but these are beings that have broken the veil to communicate to us. You could go back in the book of Jude. Go back in the book of Jude and read about how Michael had to contend with Satan the devil over Moses' body. Satan wanted to take Moses' body. Moses, remember, didn't go into the promised land. He separated himself from the children of Israel, and Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses was left behind on the other side of Jordan, left, of course, we assume, and have no other means but to understand, died alone somewhere there in that particular area. Point being, though, that those bones, that skeleton of Moses, was known of Satan the devil. He knew where it was and contended with Michael the archangel, who had to call on the Lord to rebuke Satan. And this is disclosed by the apostle Jude, Jesus' half-brother, in the book of Jude. You can read it there with regard to how these two angels fought over the body of Moses. But let me draw your attention over here to the book of Matthew. Now, Matthew chapter 4 is the story of Jesus and Satan the devil contending with each other. This was the 40 days and 40 night temptation there in the wilderness that Jesus commenced at the beginning of his ministry, of which many of you are well aware of Satan the devil's temptations over that period of time. But I want to draw your attention to verse 9. Now notice this. And he said unto him, all these things, and he showed him essentially in verse 8, all the kingdoms of the world. That's what he was basically showing him, all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then said Jesus, you get behind me, Satan, for it is written that you shall worship the Lord your God and him only. And the devil left him, and behold, notice this, brother, my friends. Look at this. Angels came and ministered unto him. And most of you who understand that Jesus was indeed the God of the Old Testament and the very creator of all there is, most likely knew these angels who were coming and ministering to him because he was their creator too. Those angels ministered to him. They broke the veil. Jesus was exhausted. 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, being tempted by Satan, the devil, and he was brought resources and refreshment by these angels who had to undertake a recovery process with Jesus in the physical because Jesus was just totally physically and mentally exhausted. Amazing things, my friends, amazing things that your Bible has to share with all of us. I could mention to you about Gabriel visiting Mary and how shocked she was. She was actually so shaken up that she was really, really disturbed over this manifestation of this angelic being, Gabriel, who told her that she was favored of God and that she was going to be selected to essentially incubate and bring forth the very Son of God, the incarnation of this great spirit being known as the Word into the physical world to die as the Savior of mankind. There's so much more I could share with you about this Bible, but time's running out on me. So won't you take a moment and dial that 888 number at 578-8791. Go ahead and get these two offers that we're offering on today's program. UFOs exist, but what are they? And the one-hour presentation, extraterrestrial visits. Extraterrestrial visits. Oh, yes, we are visited by extraterrestrial beings, but they're none other than angelic beings, either in one category or the other. They're either in favor with God or they're not in favor of God. And those that are not in favor of God are very mischievous, let it be known to all of us. And it's very important we take God seriously when he says, do not mess around as necromancers or in divinations with these beings, because they do exist in that other dimension and will come forward and break the veil if you encourage it. So dial that number and get this material so that you know how to better understand this particular subject that we're covering. Again, UFOs exist, but what are they? Extraterrestrial visits. 1 hour presentation. 888-578-8791. Dial it now. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding you always, as we often do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.